From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on July 22nd, 2024. On this episode of The Lead, we look at President Joe Biden's bombshell decision not to seek re-election and his endorsement of his vice president, Kamala Harris. We get reactions from several big South Carolinians and hear from Harris. We also hear from Congresswoman Nancy Mace during Monday's House Oversight Committee hearing with the head of the U.S. Secret Service just 9 days after a failed assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump's life. That was only 9 days ago, folks. And also, just a little warning, guys, Congresswoman Mace uses some foul language. We'll have to bleep it. It's just not appropriate for our listeners, but apparently it is for Congress. However, what is appropriate, though, is to hear from you. Please don't swear if you call us at 803-563-7169, but if you do, we can always bleep it out. AT loves doing that stuff. But give us a shout. Let us know what you're doing. It's almost back to school. I guess it probably is back to school season for shopping. Maybe you're a college kid. You're getting ready to go back to school. Maybe it's your first year at college. What are you thinking about? What are you buying? What are you majoring in? Are you guys ready to go back to school? I'm not. 803-563-7169. President Joe Biden announced Sunday afternoon in a letter posted on Twitter that he would no longer be seeking the Democratic Party's nomination. The political bombshell had been preceded by calls for him to yield to another candidate following his widely panned debate performance on June 27th against former President Donald Trump, a debate he accepted that turned out to be the biggest nail in his political coffin. Since then, the 81-year-old sought to redeem himself through speeches, interviews, and a news conference that only seemed to provide more fodder for those in his party to call for him to step down. Biden, who has been in his beach house in Delaware since contracting COVID last week, gathered with a handful of senior advisors and only let his staff know about his decision to bow out of the race a minute before the letter was posted on Twitter. He said in part, "While it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term," quote. Within 30 minutes of Biden's decision, he tweeted, quote, "My fellow Democrats, I have decided not to accept the nomination and to focus all my energies on my duties as president for the remainder of my term. My very first decision as the party nominee in 2020 was to pick Kamala Harris as my vice president, and it's been the best decision I've made. Today, I want to offer my full support and endorsement of Kamala to be the nominee of our party this year. Democrats, it's time to come together and beat Trump. Let's do this," quote. Now, Vice President Harris released a statement saying in part, "I am honored to have the president's endorsement, and my intention is to earn and win this nomination. Over the past year, I've traveled across the country talking with Americans about the clear choice in this momentous election. And that is what I will continue to do in the days and weeks ahead. I will do everything in my power to unite the Democratic Party and unite our nation to defeat Donald Trump and his extreme Project 2025 agenda." That was Vice President Harris there in a statement. So this is all going down on Sunday. And that same day, Democrats then went on to raise some $49 million by 9 p.m. Sunday evening. That's according to Act Blue, which is the Democratic Party fundraising platform there. That fundraising, as well as state parties and would-be challengers coalescing around Harris, has created critical support during a very transitional time for the party. But it's clear, small donors are fired up for Harris, as are other members of the party, and it seems like a lot of people on Twitter, too. Now, the campaign officially changed its Federal Election Commission committee to Harris for President, and the sum of $96 million in campaign finances were being transferred to Harris's name on Sunday, this according to Axios. On Monday, Vice President Harris took the lectern on the South Lawn of the White House at a ceremony for the NCAA champions, her first public remarks since Biden endorsed her to lead the Democratic ticket. Now, she starts off by praising Biden.
"Our President Joe Biden wanted to be here today. He is feeling much better and recovering fast, and he looks forward to getting back on the road. And I wanted to say a few words about our president. Joe Biden's legacy of accomplishment over the past 3 years is unmatched in modern history. In one term, he has already, yes, you may clap. In one term, he has already surpassed the legacy of most presidents who have served two terms in office. And I first came to know President Biden through his son, Beau. We worked together as attorneys general in our states, And back then, Beau would often tell me stories about his dad. He would talk about the kind of father and the kind of man that Joe Biden is. The qualities that Beau revered in his father are the same qualities that I have seen every day in our president. His honesty, his integrity, his commitment to his faith and his family, his big heart, and his love, deep love of our country. And I am firsthand witness that every day our President Joe Biden fights for the American people, and we are deeply, deeply grateful for his service to our nation.
Down here in South Carolina, there's been a lot of reaction, including from the Democratic Party. The chairwoman, Crystal Spain, said in a statement, quote, "President Biden holds a special place in the hearts of South Carolina Democrats. There are only two words to be said. Thank you. Thank you to the president for his extraordinary leadership and selfless sacrifice for our nation. President Biden's leadership brought our country back from the brink after the pandemic and the worst economic crisis in 80 years. South Carolina Democrats will always be proud we played a small part in President Biden's nomination in 2020. The president's decision today exemplifies his dedication and love for our country." Now, that was Crystal Spain, who's the SC Democratic Party chairwoman. And she also said that on Sunday evening that the entire delegation to the 2024 Democratic National Convention met virtually and voted to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris for the 2024 Democratic presidential nomination. As you will remember, South Carolina was the first in the nation Democratic presidential primary on February 3rd,
yes,
where 96% of voters selected President Biden. Spain also said that we appreciate President Biden's decades of service to the nation. South Carolina's Democratic delegates joined President Biden in endorsing Vice President Harris, our nominee. We must move forward in unity for the sake of democracy. By selecting President Biden in February, South Carolina Democrats also elected the vice president for her ability to lead. Vice President Harris has been fully vetted, and she has earned our unwavering support. It will be an honor to vote for her as our party's nominee next month. Remember, the DNC will occur from August 19th through the 22nd in Chicago. Vice President Harris and any individual seeking the nomination must qualify to receive votes from convention delegates, but right now it's pretty much wrapped up for Harris. Now, Congressman Jim Clyburn was on CNN Sunday evening, where he spoke with Anderson Cooper about the developments and his endorsement of Harris.
But I've been saying now for several weeks that if for any reason President Biden were to decide not to run, that I thought that Vice President Harris should be our choice. And that's who I would be supporting. And that's, I said that this morning, last night, and I stand by that. He decided not to run, and so I've decided to support Vice President Harris.
And you have endorsed Harris already today. You've also previously warned your party about trying to bypass Harris for a different candidate. How concerned are you tonight about that possibility? Do you see anybody on the horizon who you think might try to run?
Well, you know, I also said that our Rules Committee, the Democratic National Committee, Rules Committee, put together a process. And they must have had something like this in mind, because the process spells out what you do if you wish to run for the presidency. And in this instance, all you need to do is gather 300 signatures, no more than 50 from any a single state, and you can have your name placed in nomination. Go to work and do that within the next few hours or next few days, and you may have your name placed into nomination, and then start working the phones like everybody else. Now, that is the process that's in place. So when I hear people calling for a new truncated process, the Rules Committee put that in place from the beginning. And so if people were to just pause a little bit, take a look at the rules, it's there, laid out for anybody to see and anybody can participate in.
So let's look at some next steps like we're talking about here. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Democratic National Convention's Rules Committee, which helps oversee the presidential nomination process, will meet Wednesday afternoon in the aftermath of President Biden's decision not to seek re-election. The committee's co-chairs say it is the panel's responsibility to implement a framework to select a new nominee, which will be open, transparent, fair, and orderly. The co-chairs of the committee say the process will be comprehensive, fair, and expeditious. The media will be public and available on the DNC's YouTube page. So again, a lot of things happening here, so it's done by the books. A lot of people think this is some sort of backroom deal. It's clearly not. But Harris has to formally secure the nomination from the around 4,700 Democratic Convention delegates, including those pledged to Biden, as well as elected officials, former presidents, and other party elders known as superdelegates. Yes. And so far, according to an Associated Press survey, some 700 pledged delegates have told the AP or announced that they plan to support Harris at the convention, which is over one-third of the pledged delegates she needs to clinch the nomination. One thing that's not clinched is who will be her running mate. That's something we will be waiting to see. Possibly Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. He looks like a strong possibility. I know there's a couple other names floating out there. We'll see. There's a lot of ramifications when someone leaves to join a ticket, et cetera, et cetera. But we will be in Chicago at the convention on August 19th, so stay tuned for all that coverage as we still recover from the Republican National Convention. As for some Republican fallout, well, Senator Lindsey Graham on Monday said about Biden, quote, "I understand and respect President Biden's decision not to seek re-election. While we have political differences, I appreciate his lifelong service to our nation, which he dearly loves. I have known President Biden for over 25 years, traveling the world together, pursuing America's interests as we saw it. He has devoted his entire life to public service for the people of Delaware and the United States, and I wish him and his family well as this chapter in his life comes to an end." Very non-political statement there from Senator Lindsey Graham, praising President Joe Biden for his service. Now, we haven't heard from former presidential candidate Nikki Haley yet, but she did kind of predict and openly preach about this scenario coming into play as far back as last year.
"The first party to retire its 80-year-old candidate is going to be the party that wins this election. And I think it should be the Republicans that win this election."
Last week in Milwaukee at the RNC, Haley cited a potential Harris administration as one of her reasons for justifying her endorsement of Trump.
"For more than a year, I said a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for President Kamala Harris. After seeing the debate, everyone knows it's true. If we have four more years of Biden, or a single day of Harris, our country will be badly worse off. For the sake of our nation, we have to go with Donald Trump. Kamala had one job, and that was to fix the border. Now imagine her in charge of the entire country."
My, how fast the news cycle is spinning over these past few days. Let's tap the brakes, guys. We can't get addicted to this. It's too much news. But since we're talking about the news cycle, and you guys demanded from me, it's only been 9 days since former President Donald Trump narrowly escaped assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania. On Monday, the Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle, was before the House Oversight Committee looking into the incident. Here are some of her opening remarks.
"The assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump on July 13th is the most significant operational failure of the Secret Service in decades. The Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency. We are fully cooperating with ongoing investigations. We must learn what happened, and I will move heaven and earth to ensure that an incident like July 13th does not happen again. I am proud beyond words of the actions taken by the former president's detail, the counter-sniper team who neutralized the gunman, and the tactical team who was prepared to act."
Many on the oversight committee were growing frustrated with Cheadle's vague responses and limited specific answers in the wake of the attempt. Of course, this is because it's an ongoing investigation. You can only say so much, and the Secret Service is always famously tight-lipped anyway. But First District Congresswoman Nancy Mace, who sits on the committee, expressed her frustration and at one point even used foul language. Actually, I think she did it twice. In violation of committee decorum and rules. Listen to this line of questioning from Nancy Mace.
"Okay, my first question. Both sides of the aisle today have asked for your resignation. Would you like to use my 5 minutes to draft your resignation letter, yes or no?
No, thank you.
Was this a colossal failure?
It was a failure.
Yes or no? Was it a colossal failure is the question, yes or no?
I have admitted this is a terrible
This is a failure. Yes or no series of questions. Was this a colossal failure, yes or no?
Yes.
Was this tragedy preventable, yes or no?
Yes.
Has the Secret Service been transparent with this committee?
Yes.
Would you say the fact that we had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today as being transparent, yes or no?
I have always been
yes
eager to
Yes or
come
no, you didn't want
to
answer
to
the question.
Committee.
We had to issue a subpoena to get you to show up today. That is not transparent, by the way. You stated earlier, Secret Service is not political, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, would you say leaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as being political, yes or no?
I have no idea how my statement got out.
Well, that's bullshit. So, Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask unanimous consent to enter into the record articles by Punchbowl News, Political Playbook, Washington Post, all done at 5:24 a.m., 6:12 a.m., 6:34 a.m., a solid 3 to 4 hours before this committee got your statement.
Without objection, so ordered.
Okay. Is the Secret Service fully cooperating with our committee?
Yes.
Okay, you say you're fully cooperating with this committee. On July 15th, this committee sent you a list of demands of information that we wanted. Has the Secret Service provided this committee a complete list of all law enforcement personnel that were there that day? Have you done that? Have you provided a list to the Oversight Committee? Yes or no?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
That is a no. Have you provided all audio and video recordings in your possession to this committee, as we asked on July 15th, yes or no?
I would have to get back to you.
That is a no. You're full of shit today. You're just being completely dishonest.
Mr. Chairman,
I want to...
We have to maintain decorum in this committee, no matter how upset we get.
Have you provided any and all memos to this committee that we've asked you on July 15th? Have you provided all memorandums within the Secret Service?
I would have to get back to you on
that. That is a no. You are being dishonest or lying. You're being dishonest here with this committee. These are important questions that the American people want answers to, and you're just dodging.
I'm sorry if there were children listening. That's not how I speak, and I'm not an elected official, but what are you going to do? Now, that was a heated back and forth there, and clearly much more needs to be understood about these failures. We're all awaiting the results of this investigation and what will be known. But speaking of Mace, she filed a resolution Monday to urge Vice President Harris and the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment and for Harris to take over duties as president immediately, citing Biden's lack of, quote, cognitive ability, quote. While the news cycle is crazy right now, I dare say it's not that crazy. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. A.T. Shire, lead producer, is also here, folks. Say hello to him.
I'm here. Honestly, I've been here the whole time.
He's been here the whole time.
It's you that's here.
I know.
Yes.
And do you know what it took for me to get here?
We're going
to
get into that, okay?
Okay,
we're
going
to get into that. That's a tease for after the call.
I'm so traumatized.
Yes.
I'm ready to do some talking.
There's just been so much. You haven't taken any little breaks from any news, and there's been so much news, okay? So anyway, Gavin, let's get straight into the calls. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, Gavin and AT. It's your friend Meg. It's been a minute since I checked in with you both, so I just wanted to give you a call from my giant SUV as I hurtle safely down the highway. I heard your recent discussion about the size of our vehicles in this country, and generally I agree with you. However, I did note that Gavin didn't have a ton of critique for this whole line of conversation. Maybe that's because he knows that my particular SUV has served multiple times as his mobile recording studio, which I'm happy to do. It is a service that I provide as a citizen of South Carolina to my beloved South Carolina public media family. I will also note that since you gave a shout out to Grand Wagoneers, my husband, the illustrious and wonderful Jeffrey, recently traded in his gigantic Grand Wagoneer for an even larger pickup truck. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. I enjoy both vehicles. I think they have been great. The pickup truck is perfect for what we need at this stage in our family's everything that we have going on. But it is massive, and it's fun to drive. I've taken it on a couple spins to the grocery store, and it is bigger and more unwieldy than my own gigantic SUV. But it's fun, honestly. It is a little scary on kind of narrow lanes. So I feel you on that. I would never drive it in downtown Charleston. I personally think that golf carts are probably, or Uber, are the best way to get around downtown Charleston, just because it was frankly not even designed for motorized vehicles of any kind. But those are my thoughts about this kind of gigantification of our motorized transport in this country. I'm on the way back from Atlanta, where I was hanging out with some South Carolinians, including Senator Tim Scott, at the recent presidential debate. And it was kind of a wild time. It was very interesting. This continues to be a really different kind of campaign to cover. I hope you guys are great. I miss you both. And I will see you both soon, I hope. Bye.
Oh, sweet Meg with such a wonderful call there and that tail end.
Meg of the past. Yeah. If only she knew. If only that Meg knew what was about to happen, you know?
Yeah. And on top of the fact that we took about a 17-hour road trip back from Milwaukee.
Yes, yes.
Because of the global IT meltdown.
In the face of the disgusting size of vehicles, they persevered. They made one more of their own lane from Milwaukee straight to South Carolina.
I could tell you, I wish we had one of her SUVs or that pickup truck, maybe not the pickup truck,
no,
that she was talking about for the ride back from the 900-mile ride back from Milwaukee.
I got to say, maybe you did want that pickup truck because pickup trucks are sort of LARPing as like utility vehicles.
Yes.
But really, they're luxury vehicles.
Oh, and then we would have just brought all of our gear back with us.
And then you could have literally done just a straight line.
Now, I will tell you.
It goes over everything.
So
let's get into this, okay? So, Gavin, how did this all go down from your perspective,
You know, it was the last night of the RNC. We were out having some drinks afterwards.
As one does.
At the CNN Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And met up with Meg there because she had a little bit later night. Went from there back to her hotel with one of her colleagues, Michelle Price, who's one of the all-star reporters, too.
Name drop.
And because Meg's hotel is across the street from my hotel, so I'm like, okay, I'll pop in. Like, you know me, I'm always down for, like, a little late-night sesh, but then it's, like, all these, like, fancy, super smart, super, like, top-of-their-game AP reporters and photographers, including mm-hmm. Evan Vucci, who got the shot, like, just days before.
Of the shot.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm trying to be cool and hold together.
Yeah, photojournalism major Gavin is losing it.
Yeah, because I mean, like, all these other big names.
Correct.
But, like, you know, it's no big deal because they're all people, too. So we're hanging out, having some beers in the lobby, which was, like, just what you want to do. And then all of a sudden, I'm scrolling the Instagram, and I see, like, global IT
global outage. Not what you want to
affecting all these airlines, and I'm like, So I turned.
Surely not ours.
I legit show Evan Vucci. I'm like, well, I don't think anyone's going anywhere tomorrow. And he's like, is that real? I'm like, it's ABC News, bro. Like, it's real, real.
Yeah.
So I have alerted the Associated Press here.
I broke the news. You broke
it. I'm like, hey, guys, I know we're all having fun right now, but tomorrow and the next couple of days,
we're all screwed.
It's going to be horrible.
Yeah. We're going to have a bad time.
So it's kind of good because then I go to bed. Like, I leave because everyone's like, blah. Go back, start packing. It's like 4 a.m. when I finally get to sleep. I wake the next morning to a text from the beautiful Meg Kennard saying,
illustrious friend of the pod.
8:45 a.m. Since I already have a rental car, I'm pondering just effing driving home. Is that insane? Question mark. And I wrote back 10 minutes later. Oh, Jesus. I mean, not completely. And then she, as the sweet friend that she is, puts me on the spot by saying, would you be brave enough to go with me? And she tells me, like, the details. And I wrote back 5 minutes later. I'm like, Meg, these are serious questions for right now. I mean, yeah, I can do it, but do I have to get out of bed and think about this right now?
Give me some time.
She's
please.
Like, get yourself together. Just think about it. I have to do this radio interview, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, so we're, like, in a full, like, panic mode of, like, what to do. Our flight... We flew Delta, which it's still canceled.
Your flight is still canceled.
And so we're like in crisis mode. It's me, Amy, and Mayan like trying to troubleshoot things. Meg's still pretty adamant. Just like she extended her car rental for $900, which was the price of her round trip ticket just to get out there.
$1 per mile back to South Carolina.
For just $1 per mile. But if you think about it, like there were no other rental cars. So she was sitting on a gold mine because AP got her one because she was driving back and forth to the convention site. At first, I was like, you know, I would do that. I would like to be there for you just so you have someone, but then we were
an emotional support gap.
But then I was like, okay, well, Amy and Mayan still have to do this. So I said, okay, Meg, like, good luck. We think we're going to try our hand at this at the airport. And then 30 minutes later, she has left 30 minutes. And we get the alert that, like, all of our flights are canceled.
They're done. The flights are canceled. So every flight is canceled.
So we're just like, okay, Meg, sweet pea, can you turn around? Like, sorry that I called your bluff. Like, please come pick us up. And she's like, okay, just be ready to go. Like, we're already ready, of course. But this leads to the question of, like, okay, we got four grown people.
Yes.
And we got gear. We got bags that you check.
Yeah.
And Meg's rocking a Nissan Altima.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you,
the most dangerous car on the road.
With one ding and a Nissan Altima.
If it's got a ding on it, you got to stay clear of that car.
Or four journalists. Yeah. Needless to say, we pack it in. Meg has a big old roller bag. I have a big like duffel that fits. We have a roller bag of gear.
These are two fat. The two sitting fashion council members of the league.
We're never supposed to travel such far distances together.
They're
but
not supposed
did.
To be together. It's supposed to be like lone survivor type
we
stuff.
We pack this car out. We say, let's go. We could drive through Chicago, Gary, Indiana.
Gary.
Then we get into, I don't know, I guess we're in Indiana still. We switch drivers. Mayan takes over because she's almost like, Mayan has to get back for like wedding stuff the next day. She had like a shower. Her parents
final,
are in town.
Her final wedding shower.
She had a haircut. In a blowout, and then she had wedding engagement photos the next day. And I'm like,
oh my
girl,
God.
I don't know who stacked your calendar like this, but not, no. So she was like keyed up, motivated, ready. I'd be the tallest person in the vehicle, got to ride shotgun the whole time.
Brag, DJ. Yeah.
And so Mayan's like, I'm taking over. She drives like 11 hours straight.
Brutal.
We make stops. We stop at Bucky's
disgusting.
In Richmond.
Boosies.
It was just disgusting. Boosies. I got there. The chopped brisket, I was hoping for something because I talk about this brisket.
Yeah.
It was
gas station
trash.
Brisket. It was gas station brisket.
I understand that it's a fattier cut of meat, but I don't want just fat.
Oops, all fat.
Oh, sorry. This is the all fat one for $9. Mm-hmm. I should have got the fried chicken sandwich. You can't go wrong with that.
It boils down to being gas station food, okay, people?
Yeah, but premier gas station.
Okay, needless
so
to say,
it was
Gavin.
An ultimate road trip for us. Meg and I live out of gas stations. It was not that hard for us. I feel like
these are the things that Gavin goes through to deliver this news to you, okay, people? So
we debated doing a road trip pod. I think we're all too traumatized. There was too long of a week.
It would have been absolute lunatic ranting and raving. You know,
you're talking about your parents. You're talking about your family. You're talking about relationships. Your first kiss.
Oh.
Your first big relationship. Oh. I mean, so we were having some fun moments. We were playing license plate bingo, too. We got to, like, 24 states.
This sounds horrible.
It was pretty brutal. We were fortunate because Mayan was a great driver. There was no weather, light traffic. We just made it.
The road just opened up to you.
You know?
And so, Gavin,
we got to see so much of beautiful America. You know, the flyover states. It was, we're going to drive to Chicago.
They're drive-through states. Anyway, Gavin, we're glad you're back.
Thank you.
Meg, Mayan, Amy, I'm glad you survived.
Yeah. You guys call and give your version of events.
Yeah, if they may be completely different. Gavin was frothing at the mouth in a fugue state in the front seat. Anyway,
time.
Gavin, say the outro. You're
all
here.
Right, folks,
you're
we're
home.
We're back. We're here. And I'm going to take another road trip next week. But you guys, let us know. We take you with you everywhere, and you can take us with you everywhere. That's because we live in your phones, and we also want you to live in our voicemail box by calling 803-563-7169. Give us something to talk about in the wind-down section. You can always show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or a voicemail, like we said, 803-563-7169. You can also stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org, and don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. I can go. We can chill. We can finally see Milwaukee.
You
I've been waiting to see Milwaukee.
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee.